All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CatCast episode number 293. I am ChibiD coming at you from Tokyo, Japan. And of course, we are joined by the one, the only Wombat.
I am the one and only. If you Google Wombat, I'm the only thing that comes up.
And if you eat a Chick-fil, don't follow Wombat.
Chicken-fil?
I don't know. Chick-fil? That's not called Chick-fil?
I like that. I like the name Chicken-fil.
Chick-fil. It's not called Chick-fil?
No.
What's it called?
Chick-fil-A.
It is?
Yes.
Oh. I've never even seen one. I've never seen a picture of one. I've never seen a picture of the food. I don't know anything about it. Obviously, I don't even know the name. I know they don't like gays getting married. And I know Wombat.
That's about it.
And Wombat does like gays getting married. So we have...
They have delicious chicken, though. And Wombat's for that as well, I think.
I'm always pro delicious chicken. Yes.
What about waffle fries? Are you big on the waffle fries?
You know, I've only eaten there like twice in my life, and it was about 11 years ago, maybe 12 years ago.
So you laid the whole groundwork for the whole anti-gay marriage. You were in the ground floor of that.
He's been boycotting them for 11 years.
Exactly.
It's just fried chicken, though, right? They don't have a nice grilled chicken, do they?
I think they have a grilled chicken sandwich now for the... The weight conscious.
But it is dipped in butter.
Right. Right. Anti-gay butter. Anyway, exactly. Welcome to the show, everybody. Hello, Shipwreck. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good, good. Well, I don't think we have anything to talk about this week, so bye.
Perfect.
No, I don't know. I don't know. It's just so hot here. I stay inside all day. I can't wait to get out of here for the summer. It's just... I mean, I'm sure New York is just as bad.
It's really humid right now.
It was 96 here today.
Right. I don't like that. I like 70. 70 is my favorite temperature. I like to go places where it's 70, like Vancouver. But anyway, so welcome to the show. Anything? You guys have anything exciting going on that we need to talk about before I tell you all the movies that you need to be watching?
I think we need to jump right ahead to watch this, bitches. You could go first.
Wait, why?
Because we have movies to talk about.
Oh.
I have movies to talk about.
You have movies to talk about.
Wombat has something to talk about. Let's move to that section.
Let's do that.
Seriously.
Go ahead, Wombat.
No, you said, why? Did you have something exciting to talk about from this weekend?
No.
So, why are you giving me a hard time?
I don't know. I thought you're the one who's living the exciting life.
No, unless going to bouncy houses counts.
No.
Adult-sized bouncy houses?
They were big enough for me to go on, yes. It was like
How'd
one
that
of
go for you?
It was pretty scary. That slide that's like a story high, that thing goes down. You're going like Mach 3 down that thing. And Sabrina's standing at the bottom of it, and she wants you to like slide into her. And I'm like, if I slide into you, you're going to dissolve.
Right. So, well, it's really made for kids who weigh like 30 pounds.
No, it can hold. It's definitely meant to hold an adult's weight.
Right, but
like I could
you're going to go a lot faster though. Right, Shipwreck? Yes. Isn't that some sort of like physics thing?
That is gravity. Yes.
Gravity, thank you.
That is gravity.
And some physics thing called gravity, yes. You may have heard of.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun actually.
Excellent.
I've been watching the Olympics. You guys been watching that?
No.
I watched synchronized diving. That was cool.
Also involves gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All I know is that people are very mad about the NBC coverage. Because
it's the worst.
Because it's time delayed and just horrible.
It's not even that it's time delayed. It's like they're trying to trick you into thinking that it's not time delayed.
Right. They think, because most Americans probably think the whole world is on the same clock. You know, they don't understand the concept.
Maybe,
when
like
even America isn't on the same clock.
Yeah.
Right, right.
We're past this point now where there's not, like, this whole world going on. Like, everybody's connected and everything. NBC, all they need to do is just show the stuff live during the day when people are at work. And then at night, show us SportsCenter. Show us all the good stuff. Like, interview people. Like, all the good stuff you can still do. Just don't act like we don't know what's going on.
They could even replay the big stuff, the big events. Again.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like, because there's nothing going on like half the night. Like, the Olympians are sleeping while we're watching.
Right. Like, I want to watch them sleep. I want to watch them partying. I heard they get into some crazy parties.
Well, sure, especially like as the days go on, once they finish their events.
Right.
I heard once they finish their events, it's pretty much like a giant orgy.
Yeah, with like a super orgy because everybody's really fit.
Everyone's really fit. It's probably a very gorgeous, shiny orgy.
Mm. Yeah. Hold on, I'm getting excited.
I heard. I was like, maybe I should take this down a notch.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have much interest in the Olympics. I watched the opening ceremony, and the best part was obviously was with Mr. Bean. But I don't know. It looked nice. I couldn't really tell what was going on because the Japanese announcers felt the need to just talk over everything.
So did the American announcers.
It's like they're singing. There's like a nice choir singing and there's like all this stuff going on. And the announcers just don't stop talking. Like, what are you saying right now? People are, you know, are you translating the lyrics in real time? I mean, what's the point? So I found myself yelling at the TV, and that's when I said I probably shouldn't watch the Olympics.
The American broadcasters, the woman, started singing along to one of the songs.
Meredith Vieira.
Right. I heard that she also said at one point, like, she didn't know who one of the guys was, so she just told the viewers to Google him.
That was the man who invented the internet. I'll honestly say, I don't know what that guy's name is. It was Tim.
Right, but it's not your job to do that. You're not hosting the Olympics. You're just watching. You're not supposed to know who that guy
but
is.
But you know, it's an opening ceremony. It's essentially almost like a stage. It was a stage show.
Right.
Stage shows don't need play by play.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
If I go to a Broadway show, I don't need someone sitting behind me going, "And here's where Spider-Man comes out onto the stage."
Right. Here's where Spider-Man gets stuck in the ceiling for 2 hours. Yeah. I don't know. I just don't have. You know, I would watch it if somebody put a TV on in front of me, but I don't need to.
That sounds like a lot of effort right there.
Yeah. Speaking of watching things, I have a lot of things that I want to talk about for Watch This Bitches, but I know that Wombat saw Batman. So I don't know. Can you, I'd like to hear your opinions on Batman, but I would like to not have any plot points or really much revealed.
I won't spoil anything for you. Okay. I won't say anything that you wouldn't have seen in the trailer.
Okay.
I will say, and if you don't want to hear anything about Batman, now is the time to skip ahead.
Okay.
I'm
skipping ahead now.
Exactly. Yeah. I did. Like, you haven't even seen the second one yet, Chipwreck, so you have no.
I haven't. Does he have nipples on his suit?
No,
he does not. I really liked it. Don't misconstrue my criticism for dislike.
Okay.
I actually thoroughly enjoyed it, and I was told that it's even better the second time, and I would like to see it again. I'm sure I will see it again at some point. I did not like it more than the Avengers. I think I prefer the Avengers, but for different reasons, probably. And I read this in another review, so I'm going to co-opt it from this, is Christopher Nolan's Batman is not the same Batman as the comic book Batman or the animated series Batman.
Why?
And once you can separate that in your brain and just go with it.
Is it because he growls when he talks?
That's not even it.
Oh.
It's just, but once you could separate that and be like, okay, this is self-contained. This is not the Batman canon. This is its own little story. It's Elseworlds. If anyone remembers the Elseworlds comics from, I think, the 80s, early 90s, where it would be like a Batman comic that had nothing to do with continuity. So they would call it Elseworlds. It would be like one was, what if Batman was a vampire? Was one of the Elseworlds comics.
You're telling me that Batman's a vampire in this movie? I thought you said no spoilers.
Yes, Batman is a vampire in this movie. So you think of it, you have to think of it like that.
Where does it rank in terms of the three Batman movies?
You know, in hindsight, I mean, it's probably the third best. I think there's, and I don't really think there's much of an argument for that. I'm sure someone will tell me why they think it's not the third best, but that's fine. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. In my opinion, I think it's the third best. I still think the first one holds up the best over time.
The first half is really boring, the first one.
I kind of like that, but that's just me.
Right.
I kind of like that it's really boring.
The second half
is my favorite part.
No, I like the method of it. And I like that it's building to now he's Batman.
Right. All right.
I want to say something about it, and I don't know if it's too much of a plot point, even though it's in the first thing they say when the movie starts.
Yeah, you don't need to say it.
You don't need to say anything. How's Chris O'Donnell in it?
Chris O'Donnell is great.
Great.
Arnold Schwarzenegger have a lot of really clever one-liners.
You know, the best part was the puns by Mr. Freeze. Definitely the best part.
I like when he says, freeze.
I like that when he says, ice to meet you.
Yeah, that was really good. I can't believe they were able to come up with those lines. I mean, they must have had some Harvard geniuses come up with those.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. They probably worked a very long time.
It will be a cold day in hell before I something.
Before, something Batman.
Before I don't fuck my maid.
Anyway. Exactly.
All right.
Yep. So, no, it's very, very good. I recommend you see it. But if I could make the changes I want it to make it more of a Batman movie, again, if you saw it, I would go into more detail, so I'm not, and right. I'm probably annoying a lot of people by not going into detail, but yeah. Right.
So you would take the Reapers completely out of the storyline of Batman?
I would totally take, your wife agreed with me.
What does she know?
She's just a woman.
Exactly.
It just came out in Japan on Saturday. The problem is the last time I went to a movie here, it was so hot in the theater, and it wasn't even the summer. So I'm very weary of sitting in it's like almost 3 hours, right? And I just,
yeah, it's
I don't
like
wanna,
2 hours and 45 minutes.
I don't want to sweat my ass off for 3 hours.
We have to see what's playing at Cinerama when Cheapy and me are in Seattle.
Right. I don't know what, yeah. Oh, I remember you talking about that last time. That'll be cool. Well, anyway,
that's huge screen. That would be great if Batman was playing in that.
That would be, but we're probably going to see it in Vancouver first, if it's still playing.
And then we could do a spoiler cast.
Right. I have some good movies that I want to recommend. The first one is called Midnight Sun. That's S-O-N. It's an indie vampire movie. Low budget. If you liked Let the Right One In, then I think that you would really like this. But I am warning you now, it is low budget, but the acting is very good. It's like the anti-vampire movie. It's basically the exact opposite of like a Twilight or something like that. But Mrs. Cheapy and I really, really liked it. And so it's one of those movies that it kind of haunts you days after you see it. Not that it's like some deep experience, but it's just the imagery and what happens in the movie just sort of sticks with you afterwards. So Midnight Sun, and it's on Apple TV. It just came out. And it's probably in other places too, but that's S-O-N.
How's it compared to Embrace of the Vampire? The one where
is that the one with
Alyssa Milano gets naked?
There's nudity in it.
Okay.
But you've never heard of any of the actors in the movie. But the lead role, the guy, the star of the quote unquote star of the movie is really like a great actor. He did such a good job with it. So I really
these are American or English?
It's American.
Actors?
It's an American movie.
I was going to ask that question.
It takes place in L.A. It's a great movie, and it's sort of slow in the beginning, but not in a bad way. It builds up a lot of tension.
You just made fun of me for liking a movie that was slow at the beginning.
Yeah, but I know. Okay, whatever. Just watch the movie. Watch this, bitches. Okay, that's just what I'm telling you. Trust in Cheapy. Okay, I'm never wrong.
Oh, it has the great American actor Tracy Walter in it. So really, how bad could it be?
Yes, he was. I knew he looked familiar, and I looked him up on Internet Movie Database, and I recognized him from the first Batman movie, the Tim Burton Batman movie, where
he He plays Bob the Goon.
He plays Bob the Goon. Bob, you're my number one guy. Right?
Yes, that would be him.
Yes, thank you. This town needs an enema. I've been working on my Dark Knight Joker.
how do you work on these things? What are you doing during the day that you're
exactly?
Do you just breathe heavy a lot? Just lots of.
It's a funny world we live in. Speaking of funny, do you know how I got these scars? No, but I know how you got these. Thank you.
It's like a one man chill. I could do Batman the whole your house, isn't it?
Yes, I could
for every Batman movie. It's though, an, every character.
It's a one man radio play of Batman.
Right. Another movie that I saw that I can recommend is this documentary called Jiro Dreams of Sushi. It's about this 85-year-old master sushi chef who has a 3-star Michelin restaurant, and he's been making sushi for 70 years. And it's just a really beautifully made documentary. And I think that everybody would pretty much enjoy it, especially if you have any interest in sushi. It's pretty interesting to see this guy who, even though he's 85 years old, he's still like really like a hard worker and just, you know, he dreams of sushi. That's his entire life, basically. And he's taken sushi like perfection to the next level.
I did actually hear very good things about that movie.
Yeah, I've heard of that one as well.
Yeah. Mrs. Cheapy's taking me there for my birthday. She made a reservation yesterday.
Oh, okay.
What are you going to get?
What do you mean? What are you going to get? You get whatever the guy gives you.
Yeah. Is that how it works?
Yeah. Yeah.
You just sit down, he gives you food.
Yep.
I like those kind of restaurants.
It's omakase. Up to the chef, basically.
Yeah.
That's how you end up eating fish testicles.
Right.
But that's how you wind up finding out that you like fish testicles.
We went to that. We took you to the nice sushi place, right? Or no? When you were
here. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We went to a nice. I don't know if it's the.
Well, it was not. It was the one that had their own beer, right? Or no?
Yes. Yeah. That place they had their own beer and they had a guy who spoke English.
Yes. That place was awesome.
It was. It was very
good.
This
place doesn't take credit cards, and you have to make a reservation 1 month in advance. So you have to, and it's a set price. So it's, I don't know, it's like $350 a person. So you have to bring everything. They tell you when you make the reservation to bring cash. So you have to show up with $700 in cash, if more than that, because if you want to have drinks and stuff. So you basically have to.
Did they tell the guys with the knives outside of the restaurant?
They don't have to. So you don't have to worry about that in Japan. Well, you only have to worry about like a crazy guy just stabbing you randomly. You don't have to worry about really being robbed, just maybe killed by a psycho. So I'm looking forward to that a lot. Another movie that I saw, another documentary, which I'm not quite done with it yet, but I can recommend it, is Client 9, the story about Elliot Spitzer.
That's what I thought that was.
Yeah, it's the he was the attorney general for New York, and then was governor briefly, and then he had that big, he had the scandal with the escort service. But it's really interesting, and it's sort of a shame that prostitution is illegal in this country, because the guy probably would have been a good president someday, maybe, if a Jew could ever be elected president.
Yeah. Or a pimp. He could have been a good pimp.
Well, no, he wasn't a pimp. He was a customer.
Right.
But it's really interesting because he made a lot of enemies, really powerful enemies, because he went after, you know, big banks and insurance companies. And basically he was just a real like kick-ass kind of guy, take no prisoners, which wound up getting him in all, well, his penis got him in the trouble that he was, you know, breaking the law. He couldn't not fuck these whores, but he made so many enemies that they went after him, and they, you know, they hired private investigators to go after this dude, and they were successful. But it's really good. Really well done. And at your recommendation, Wombat, I did watch Community, the foosball episode of Community, because Hulu is now available on Apple TV, and they had a free 7-day trial. So I gave it a shot. I don't like Community.
I don't know you anymore.
I can see the appeal. Like, I see that it's clever. I don't know.
It's too smarmy for me.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It's too like smug, and like it. I don't know. I can see
it's
the appeal.
It's very self-aware.
I can see why people like it, but I've watched several episodes of it, and I just don't find myself laughing. Like, I don't know. It's not my thing. And you know, the foosball was okay in it. There wasn't a lot of great foosball scenes in it.
Not enough foosball, actually.
Not enough food. There's very a lot of quick.
Do they play it properly? That was the only reason I wanted
well,
to watch
it. No, they don't. I see him spin the rods at one point where he lets go of the rod and spins it. It was a lot of quick cuts. It was like watching That Gladiator with Russell Crowe, where all the fight scenes are just like these quick cuts. You can't even see what's going on. It was like that.
Except in foosball form.
Except with foosball instead of gladiator fights.
I don't know why they didn't make that a movie instead of Gladiator.
Right. Right. So I recommend
Russell
people.
Russell Crowe, you killed my wife. Now I must take you on the foosball field.
Right. Now I will poke you.
All the little foosball guys have really great abs.
And they get poked.
At one point, they throw a tiger in the middle of the foosball table.
Yeah,
just a little wind up one.
Did we just do 20 minutes of a show already without really talking about anything?
We talked about wind up tigers,
right? And by the way,
I did my wind up tiger impersonation in case you missed it.
You're right.
Yeah, the cough laugh. Oh.
Hulu, they have a lot of nerve to put that many ads in something that you're paying $8 a month for. I mean, it's a ton of ads in there. I don't know if I'm going to stick with it. But anyway, Sideshow Comedy wanted to know how I liked Hulu.
And you just told him.
And I just told you. Let's do some show feedback from last week, Wombat.
Fornicator wants to know, there's been an indie foosball game on Xbox. Have you tried it?
No.
Paraphrase.
I have not.
No?
I have not.
Will you try it?
I will check it out. I will look at the pictures, the screenshots, and see if it's worthy of me trying it.
If worthy of the trial?
Worthy of the trial. It can't be that good.
Only one way to find out.
Okay. People don't...
And now on to really what everyone wants us to talk about.
Okay.
Jer7583... The iPhone is an exceptional device, to be sure, but your outright dismissal of Wombat's point that the 3DS and the iPhone can't be directly compared because the 3DS does not set out to match what the iPhone does come off as very arrogant to me. I don't think there's anyone who is considering a 3DS or a Vita purchase that buys an iPhone instead, just like there's no one considering an iPhone purchase and buys a 3DS okay. and Vita or
okay.
Vita instead.
Got it.
They're just not in direct competition like that.
Okay. Now, people, it's really funny when people listen to this show. And I've come to the conclusion, you know, we've been doing this show since 2005. So this is like their seventh anniversary this month.
Yes, it is.
Seventh year of CACAS.
Happy anniversary. Hold me.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. One thing I've learned from doing the show for 7 years is that people kind of hear what they want to hear. So people who like to get upset when I say something nice about the iPhone or an Apple product or something like that, hear something that I really didn't say and wasn't the point of the discussion. I don't think anywhere in that discussion were we comparing the 3DS and the iPhone. That was not the point. The point was that you said that the 3DS XL, well, actually, you said that you heard or read that the 3DS XL.
I was
going to
say, I never, that's okay. what I was going to say. Okay, cool. Never said that.
Okay. And, you know, maybe I'm, it doesn't matter. So that the 3DS XL was a
none of this matters.
Incredible device, right? That's the only thing that I was disputing, was the word incredible used to describe that. I never said that the iPhone is in direct competition with a portable gaming system.
Well, you said that the iPhone is an incredible device.
Yes.
And therefore, we can't use that adjective to describe the Nintendo 3DS.
But, well, I said this is an example of what I consider to be an incredible device.
But why can't they both be incredible devices?
Because the 3DS doesn't do nearly the things that an iPhone can do.
This is where I'm cutting you off.
And
it doesn't matter.
Okay, you're right. Okay.
It doesn't matter.
What about it is incredible?
It plays great games. It looks great.
It doesn't.
Shipwreck
no, it doesn't.
Shipwreck, how are the graphics on the 3DS?
They're better than what it gets credit for, but it's not.
Would you say they're incredible? Would you say they're incredible?
No, I wouldn't call them incredible. They look very nice for a portable system.
What about it would be incredible?
Are they the best graphics on a Nintendo portable system to date?
That does not make it incredible. That's the stupidest thing I've
sure
ever heard.
Sure it does.
That makes it incredible? So when the Game Boy Advance came out, that was incredible?
I think even the term incredible is very subjective in itself.
The Game Boy Advance was incredible.
The Game Boy Advance
well, that
was
at least,
incredible.
Yeah, it was... Maybe.
That was a Super Nintendo in your hands.
Okay.
That was pretty amazing.
Maybe that was a bad analogy. But
It was.
Okay.
Is it better than the Wii?
Is the Wii incredible?
No. Well, some people thought so. Al Roker did.
Well, great.
I'm happier with the graphics that I get on the 3DS in comparison to the Wii. Like, for screen size, the 3DS graphics look good.
Yeah.
Whereas for screen size on the Wii, they do not.
I think when people hear me talk about the iPhone and a dedicated portable gaming system in the same sentence, they think that I'm comparing the games or something like that. Which I've never did. I was merely saying I don't think that is incredible is the proper word to describe the 3DS XL.
So very good? Should I call it a very good device?
Well, there's a big difference between very good and incredible, isn't there?
If you say so.
You don't think so? I mean,
not really.
Okay.
Not in what we're talking about here.
All right. Well, I guess we're going to agree to disagree.
I think we're splitting hairs, to be perfectly honest.
Right. I mean, the definition of incredible is impossible to believe. Okay. Now.
Oh, good. We're going to the.
I'm looking at things.
What is the root of that word?
I
don't know. That's all. That's my point.
Would be the root word.
The other point is that people just get so angry, like the comments in the show thread. I mean, some of them, like, I'm surprised I didn't get any death threats because, I mean, some of them came close, but people will hear what they want to hear. So I'm sure someone will interpret this discussion.
I was going to say, if you are a listener and you think your Nintendo 3DS is incredible, it is incredible. And don't let Cheapy tell you otherwise.
Right. Okay. But you've never even seen one, so...
I've seen a regular 3DS. I've played a regular 3DS.
Not an XL, though.
No, not the XL. But I never said that it was incredible. I heard that it was incredible.
I know. So I was really getting mad at, the fact that somebody... Well, I don't even know where you heard it. Where'd you hear it was incredible?
I want to say I read it on Joystick.
Incredible Weekly?
Incredible Weekly.
Was it Ben Kuchera's Twitter feed? Is that what you heard? It was incredible? All right. Let's move on to new releases.
Sounds good.
Yes.
Let's see here. Oh, Summer of Arcade. So we have Deadlight this week for Summer of Arcade.
You wrote a review.
I put a review up. I did on the site. This is the 2D action puzzle platformer that's also a survival horror theme. It's got zombies in it.
I love zombies.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
Incredible.
I would say it's one of the better looking Xbox Live Arcade games.
All right.
I mean, it's up there graphically. And it's got a good tone to it and everything. The issue is it is really short. I think most people will complete it in about 2 to 3 hours. It's a puzzle platforming game. So think something like Shadow Complex or Limbo. But it's insanely easy. Not once did I
is it Shipwreck easy or is it Wombat?
Okay, I'll give you an example here. There's basically nowhere to get lost for the most part. Like, you might have to search out, it's very linear, so you might have to search out for some of the collectibles and stuff like that. But otherwise, on the ledges you can climb on, there are these little white arrows that signify, hey, you can climb here. Or if there's a door, there's a little symbol that says, hey, you can bash through this door. So it's very I don't know why they did it like that. It ruins the sense of exploration. It's all over the place gameplay wise too. Like, you'll come into a room and the ceiling will fall on your head without any warning. And so you're like, well, okay. I guess I'm restarting that section, which the checkpoints are pretty frequent because that's how this game works. So then the next time you know to run, and that was solving that puzzle.
Right. So it's like dragons playing Dragon's Lair. Like, there's no way.
It's a little bit like, yeah.
There's no way you could know that you're supposed to duck at this point, really.
Right. Yeah. It's a little bit like that. So it doesn't have that same, like Limbo, even for the grief we gave it for being so short, it had some genuinely good puzzles in there. Like, you felt satisfaction when you got through a tricky part. You figured something out and you felt smart. Mm-hmm. I never got that feeling with Deadlight. And it starts off so strong too, because you're thinking it's showing you all these different mechanics and everything. And it's going to build on that. But then it like takes away all the zombies for like a third of the game, and you're just like going through all these puzzles in the sewers
that aren't really puzzles,
right? That aren't. It's like if you just go step by step, you get through it. So I really like was pretty disappointed with it. I mean, it's not bad. It's just
disappointing.
Yeah, it's just disappointing.
Not living up to its potential.
Definitely not. Mm. And it's their first game. It's that company's first game. So I think that's part of it, which they did a really good job on the graphics.
Right.
So.
Hmm. All right. Well.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it is more your speed, Wombat.
Okay.
Like you might enjoy it because it's
easy. It's kind of it's casual for dumb to play. People. Are you calling me dumb people?
That's pretty much what I was getting.
So I would like it too. Then.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Yeah, I would suggest like definitely wait for a sale on it because I don't think it's worth $15. Because once you go through it, there's really nothing else to see.
I don't know. I had read a review that said that I would be coming back to this game for months.
Oh my god! Was that review in Spanish or Sweden? It could have been from Sweden.
I thought it was the Canadian one you sent me.
I don't remember.
Hey, darling.
I was looking at some Metacritic scores for it, and some of just the hyperbole that was going around, people saying that they were going to be playing this game for months to come, and it's one of the best games, if not the best game, on Xbox Live Arcade Marketplace.
Incredible, even.
Yes.
They're only playing it for 2 minutes at a time, I think. So that's why they're going to be playing it for months to come. All right. Well, that's disappointing, I guess.
Yeah. It is. I mean, I think we're going to talk about some of our case stuff a little later too.
Okay. But,
then Risen to Dark Waters came out for 360 and PS3. It was out before for PC and it got good reviews. I want to check that out. It's, the first Risen was pretty good. It had some technical flaws, but it's a pirate RPG. And I don't know. It looks pretty good to me. I think it got somewhere around high 70s, low 80s on Metacritic for the PC version. So I would assume the 360
I did not even know this was coming out.
It kind of snuck up on me for the consoles, too.
Oh, huh. All right.
And it came out for PCs like right before I got my PC. So, and then I played a little bit of The Expendables 2, the trial of that on PS3.
Hmm.
That's part of their PlayStation Play promotion that's going on. It's a like isometric four-player co-op shooter. So kind of like a like an Assault Heroes type of thing. But
I was gonna say like Commando, or is that
yeah, kind of like Commando.
Okay.
But the graphics are updated; they look pretty nice.
Like
there's lots
Rambo
of explosions.
3 on the Genesis.
Was that the one with the gun?
That was the one where it was basically Akari Warriors, but when you got to the boss fights, it would go into this weird kind of, not like third person kind of mode. That was really cool at the time, but if I saw it now, I would probably wonder why I thought it was so cool.
Yeah, it's a modern day Akari Warriors type of thing. Like it's more of a three quarters perspective than that, than top down.
I played so much Akari Warriors. Back
in the
day.
A great game.
In the arcade and the NES version.
Yeah, like, with the joystick that you could turn around.
Well, I didn't have... Oh, in the arcade.
In the arcade, yeah.
Yeah. Home one. I suffered through the home one without that, but I still played a fucking shit ton of that.
Yes, but the demo is really long on this. Like, I didn't even get to the end of the demo because it just kept on going. Like, I beat a level and then it let me go on to the next level and it... I don't know if the demo actually ends or not.
Right.
It was okay. Like, I would say for like $5 maybe, but they want 15 for it.
All
so,
right.
Yeah. War of the Monsters came out. That's the PS2 game. That came out for PSN. That was a really fun game. I don't know if you guys
I still
that.
Have it. I still have my PS2 copy
of
War
game.
Of the Monsters. That game is ridiculously awesome.
How's it going to look on the PS3?
It's going to look like the PS2 version.
Yeah. It's gonna be rough.
Yeah, if they made a War of the Monsters 2 for the PS3, that'd
or
be a
HD,
different story.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right. What else?
That Kingdom Hearts game came out for 3DS.
Dream Drop Distance. I see what they did there. 3D, and then it's got 3Ds starting off the subtitle. It's very clever.
Look at that.
Hmm.
I hope for Kingdom Hearts fans that it's good. That's about all I can say about it. All
right.
I liked the first Kingdom Hearts, and then Kingdom Hearts 2 gave me a headache with its camera, and then I haven't played one since. I kind of lost my interest in the Square Enix Disney mashup.
Mm.
I played half of the first Kingdom Hearts. Does that count for anything?
I did too, I think. I just didn't know where to go anymore.
I never liked the gummy ship.
That kind of sucked.
And the load times were excruciating.
All right. Anything else this week?
Bullet Run came out. I know you played some of that.
Yes, I live streamed some Bullet Run on my twitch.tv account, Cheap Ass Gamer. It's kind of rough, that Bullet Run. It does not, the hook of Bullet Run is that you're basically in a futuristic reality TV show where you're killing people in arena, like Running Man, except with guns. And it's kind of cool. I think the idea is pretty solid. You know, that sounds entertaining. You can even see like cameras flying above the arena and, on tracks and stuff along the walls. I like the idea, but I don't know. It's the mechanics of the game don't seem very solid. Like compared to Blacklight Retribution, it's not in the same class at all. Blacklight just blows it away in terms of the feel and the look of the game and just everything, the whole infrastructure of the game and the marketplace. It just seems way better. The Blacklight seems like a big budget title that could be a full release, retail release game. And Bullet Run seems like a free to play game. So I don't know. From what I played, and even in the stream, like people watching me stream it, they got tired of it pretty quickly. And they were like, play Tribes, play Blacklight, play anything but this. So that's Bullet Run, but it's free. You can check it out if you want after my glowing.
I downloaded it, but yeah. Now I'm kind of bummed out.
Dude, you should just get Blacklight, dude, and Tribes. Play those. Two great free-to-play games.
I have Tribes.
Okay, well, play it.
Is Blacklight on Steam?
Yes.
Or do I have to? Okay. I might have that too then.
Blacklight is you don't have to pay a dime to enjoy Blacklight. You can be competitive and have fun not spending a dime.
It'd be cool if they actually had packs for a dime, though.
Dime bag?
Dime bag?
Yeah. What else we got this week?
I've been playing Resonance. It came out for Steam this week or last week. It came out a few weeks back on like good old games and everything. It's a pretty cool little point-and-click adventure. It was built inside. There was like a LucasArts style like development kit or something, where everything looks like the old LucasArts adventure games. Mm. So it runs at 480 by 640, which confused me at first because like I spent like a good 5 or 10 minutes like entering and exiting out of the game to try to like see where I could do the sliders. Because like as soon as you launch the game, it brings up this thing that says like all your settings and everything, but it would only let me go to that resolution. So I messed around another 5 or 10 minutes before I looked it up, and apparently that's what it runs at. But it's got a very cool like style to it. You're playing like as four different people, and their stories kind of weave in and out of each other, I guess.
Like Crash.
Like Crash or Babel. Kind of like 999 on the DS as well. The voice acting in it's really good. Like, I think that's one of the coolest things about it. And there's this whole time element to it as well. Like, one of the first scenes is one of the women in the game. She's having a dream where she's a little girl and this monster's trying to get into her room. And so the first time you play it, you like try to hide under the bed, but then you realize like the monster breaks in and gets you out front of the bed. So the second time you realize, hey, I can lock the door, like time rewinds and it starts over again. Hmm. And so then you can lock the door and then find another thing, and then the timer winds again, and it's kind of a cool mechanic.
Everything sounds cool about the game, except for the tiny window that's going to appear on my screen that I have to play it in.
Right. That's, I guess you, like, that cuts down on the production value of it, so you get the good right. voice acting and everything. Right. But you kind of have to be in the mood to play a retro-looking game
right.
to enjoy
it. On a MacBook, on one of those new MacBook Pro Retinas, that's going to be like the size of a postage stamp.
Well, what can you do?
Right.
I like it, though. Okay. It's good.
Resonance, support. It's called.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. What else? I bought Political Machine 2012, which was on Steam for it was actually $7 if you pre-ordered it. If you check out my live stream, what's recorded there, you can watch me play it. And I made myself versus Wombat. Wombat, you were the Republican. I'm sorry.
I am a staunch conservative, so I respect that. I appreciate you sticking with my beliefs.
Right. I said you were anti-gay marriage.
It sounds about right.
I pick Democrat and your opponent has to be a Republican. There's no other choice. But I don't know. It's not the type of game that works well, I think, for live streaming, because you're supposed to like learn what actually how to play it while you're playing it, and had a hard time like talking to people on chat while doing that. But I don't know. It's cheap and it seems like it could be fun. It has all.
What do you do in this
You run game? For president. So you choose. You can make your own character if you like, or you can choose a whole bunch of real people that are already pre-made. They have like everybody that you could possibly run. You could even run as Michelle Obama if you want, or you know, Trump is in there. Everybody's in there, and you go around from state to state. You try to win over the state by giving speeches or running TV ads or radio ads or whatever, and building.
Are they speeches like you would give? Kind of. Well, you haven't played Tropico, but like it would give you different topics.
Yeah.
You could kind of like see.
Yes.
Like you just pick an answer.
You can say, it'll say like marriage, gay marriage. I favor it. I'm opposed to it. Or you can talk about how your opponent is opposed to it. And all the topics are real topics and current topics. So that's kind of cool. So if something like that sounds like it would appeal to you, maybe you should check that out.
Does it have any humor to it, or is it just like, it sounds really heady?
It's silly. No, it's
kind of,
it's pretty silly. I mean, the people look very cartoonish.
Did you see the picture that I posted?
I did.
Yeah.
But
that tells you that's silly, how silly it is. But it's sort of realistic in terms of the issues and stuff that you're discussing. So you can check it out. Political Machine 2012. Is that it for the new releases?
That's it.
Let's move on to what? Let's give a shout out to Audible and their free audiobook download and free 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/cadcast and you can check out their service. audibletrial.com/cadcast. Baba Booey to you all. What else? What's next? We're giving some stuff away?
Yeah, we have stuff.
Yeah. No, we've got two Foosball 2012 codes to give out.
Nice. Remember I was complaining last week. Hold on, let me grab this email here.
Yeah, you're complaining that you didn't get a Foosball code, and I said that's like pretty typical for small releases on PSN that they come after the release date. And what do you know?
Yeah, I was complaining that what I sort of learned from the whole thing was that like PR doesn't seem to be doing their job in a lot of situations, because I was like their most...
That's not PR there.
Well, exactly. So I got an email from somebody who works in PR, and they said basically exactly what you said. They said it's not necessarily up to the PR. They just didn't, you know, in certain situations, they don't get codes. They're at the mercy of a Sony or whomever, and they just don't know. They just have no idea what's going to happen. It's just like really out of their control.
I wrote up a couple paragraphs. I'm going to pass it off to you, I think, and you can write up a couple paragraphs since they did send codes.
Okay, it's fine.
But I played through most of it. I tried out the switching between the Vita and the PS3.
Mm-hmm.
The save stuff's really cool. Like, yeah, it actually works.
Totally. It saves your progress right over there. Totally.
I can honestly say I did not expect it to actually work.
The online play doesn't work. That's the problem.
I haven't tried that yet.
Yeah, it's just so laggy. I mean, I'll score. It'll look like I just scored a goal. Like, I'll see the ball go into the other person's goal, and then all of a sudden, it's in my goal. It's like, oh. And my goal didn't count. So I don't know what's going on. So, yeah. Okay. I take it back. It wasn't PR's. It's not necessarily PR's fault. There's other factors involved here. They're at the mercy of the...
It's quite the ecosystem.
Yeah, we got it. Good job.
To get a foosball code.
Okay, so how are we going to give away? So we have two foosball codes to give away, foosball 2012 codes to give away, and three Death Rally codes for PC?
Yes, for Steam. Three Steam codes for Death Rally, which I've played the iPhone version, and that's fun. So I'm assuming this is fun, too.
Mm-hmm. So are we doing a first come, first serve type situation?
Do we want to do it that way?
How about, I don't know. I think it's the easiest way to do it. But you have to mention, just so you can't just come into the thread and say, I want the prize, you have to specifically say what you want, and you can only pick one. Okay? How's that?
First five win.
First five wins. And you have to name what you want.
And on the foosball thing, I know when you buy it, you get both the PS3 and the Vita version.
Yes.
But the way the codes came... One of them says PS3 and one of them says Vita. So
it shouldn't make any
difference. Specify which one you want. I think it'll work for both of them.
Right. We're not sure, though.
Like, I think you get both, but specify whether you want the Vita or the PS3 version, just in case.
Yeah, just in case. It'll probably be fine, though. All right. Let's move on to multi-platforming and Wombat's news and stuff. Wombat.
I have been playing a lot more Mass Effect 3. I know everyone cares.
Right. You like it. I'm glad. Where were you when the game came out when I was playing a lot of it?
I think, at that point I was playing the single player, and then that ended, and then the summer hit, and there was nothing good or new for me to play. And I just kind of fell into playing this, because, I don't know, because they had all those new DLC packs, those free downloadable content, actually worked. It got me back into that game.
Good. I'm glad.
And I played over the weekend, and I did one of those, weekend challenges.
Yep.
And I got my free pack last night. And I got a ninja.
Ninja?
A ninja.
What does the ninja do?
The ninja, I think it's the N7 Slayer is the actual class. But she has two swords.
Oh, that's cool.
And her power move, if you're like targeting on a guy and you hit the right button, she will just home in right on the guy, flash behind him, teleport behind the dude. And just melee attack them. So on weaker enemies, it's a one-hit kill.
That's awesome.
It's really cool.
All right. Thumbs up for Project Wombat from Wombat.
Thumbs up. Yeah. And I've been playing, a lot. So if you want to find me, look for me. I'm more than happy to keep playing.
Have you been playing with one of Gretchen's business partners?
I have been playing with one of Gretchen's business partners. She heard that I was into the game and told me that he doesn't have many people to play with, and we played on Friday or Saturday. Yeah.
Wow, things are getting really close to home, Shipwreck.
I was shocked when I heard that. Right. Yes.
I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like some barriers are being broken here.
I am trying to help the Shipwreck family in their business endeavors.
Right. That's by making sure one of the partners is playing more video games.
Exactly.
Perfect. That's usually the success to any business, is make sure the guy is playing a lot of video games.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Yep. All right. What else we got here? Did I put this thing on here about the VR goggles, or did you? I think I did.
I feel like it was Shipwreck.
I think all three of us may have.
I think, yeah. So there's this new... This thing called the Oculus Rift VR goggles went on Kickstarter. And I know that Ben Kucher is very excited about it. So that means that we should probably all be excited about it. But now he's not the only one. I see that Gabe Newell also is very excited about it. And Cliffy B and John Carmack. It's a real virtual reality headset that you can use to play real games. If you... buy it on Kickstarter. I think it comes with Doom 3, the new Doom 3 version that's coming out, BFG.
And that's, for $300, you can get the development kit.
Okay.
Like, and that comes with the Doom 3.
Gotcha.
Like, they don't have the commercial ones.
I'm so confused by this thing. Is it essentially just a TV that plugs into your console?
Hmm.
Or is it...
I guess it plugs into your PC.
Does it plug... It plugs into your PC, not your
console. I doubt it's going to work with your console.
Yeah, so basically, essentially, I have no... I could care less. Like, if this worked with my... With my current consoles, or even like if I could watch TV on it, like football games, just kind of sit there and not have to look at.
That's not going to work.
Then this thing is worthless.
maybe. Do you ever play?
I think it's very niche. Like, I don't know that I like. It looks very cool, and I'm sure people really love it. But I just don't want a screen that close to my face.
Back in the day, did you ever play those virtual reality arcade games?
The ones that are at Dave and Buster's still?
Oh, they're still there.
Oh, yeah, they're still there with the tanks. They're terrible.
There was one early one where you stood in like a circuit on a platform, on a round platform, and it had like a round barrier around it.
Well, there
it
was
you-
this one summer where I was doing yard work at the church, and this professor...
right.
He asked me to come over to his house, and he had me play one of those games like that.
Hmm.
And then I had sex with the next door neighbor and killed some people. It was a pretty good summer.
Right. I think you just watched Lawnmower Man, and you're getting confused.
No, that happened to me. Oh, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
It was a great Job.
Well done.
Oh,
well done.
Man. yeah. So I guess it's safe to say that none of us are going to be paying for this.
It seems like something I would use for like a day, and then it'd be like 3D TV to me. Like,
yeah. If I find one
a while, and then I'm not ever again.
If I want to vomit in my living room, I'll drink too much.
Right. I'll wait. I don't need to do the Kickstarter. I think I'll just wait to see what happens when it comes
really
out.
$300 though is not bad.
No.
It's not.
This is one of the few things it's like, okay, they're gonna send me a product. They're gonna send me a game along with it.
Probably they'll send you a product.
Well, if not, you get your money back,
no,
right?
No.
No.
You don't at all?
No.
Is that how these Kickstarter things
work?
I don't think there's any promise.
There's no guarantee that you get anything.
Yeah.
How does this work? This doesn't make sense to me then.
The only promise is that they're gonna take your money when they reach the goal. That's the promise.
That can't be right.
That's what I've been told.
I don't believe you have any legal recourse if you don't get your item.
That's what I've been told by a very angry Ben Gilbert. Generally very angry.
I was going to say, when is there not a very angry Ben Gilbert?
Right.
I was going to wonder, like, what level of angry are we talking about here?
Right. I don't know. Just the general level, I guess.
Okay.
So yeah, I'll wait to see. Like, a lot of these things, I feel like it's just better just to wait for the product to come out. And then buy it normally, because then you'll actually know if it's good. And there's probably a lot of other suckers who will pony up the money anyway to get it funded. So I don't feel like I need to be this particular sucker.
They put together a really nice video on this one, though. I will say that. It's easy to get like slightly excited about it to the point where I could see people going, yes, I will throw money at this.
Right. I haven't watched the video yet. I guess I probably should have watched that before I...
It's got like Gabe Newell in it and Cliff Bleszinski, and I think Mark Rain is in there. Like, it's got a whole bunch of like
people that are
really big nerds, like really big name nerds in there that are, you get excited.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, they like it.
I'm not knocking it at all. I'm just saying I'll wait to see when it comes out and then I'll make my decision then. Because I ordered that Pebble eWatch thing. Shit, still isn't coming out. I think I ordered that a long time ago, and it got delayed, and I think
what came out? Soap.
Stack Soap delivered.
Right.
Stack Soap definitely delivered. They are on, it's being sold at Amazon right now. And apparently they were supposed to, the guy contacted me, the creator of Stack Soap. Apparently they interviewed him, or they did a segment on it for Japanese television. Because he asked me to record it for him, but apparently it never aired. Instead, there was a segment about toilets for really obese people.
Instead. You know, those obese people could probably use Stack Soap.
Yeah.
Yeah. That brings up a question I have.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Toilet seats. Why do they make toilet seats that have the concave part that you sit on. Like, I'm a convex man. Like, I like the roundedness right. when I sit down.
Hmm.
It just throws me off. Like, am I wrong here? Like, does anybody like the concave to their toilets?
I think I like the standard. You know what I'm talking about, I like this right? more standard size shape. I think maybe because just people are getting bigger.
What I hate are the long ones that don't go in a full circle. The public toilet.
See? Oh.
What are you using with that first part?
Huh? I just like it.
What
there?
Are you doing with that first part of it?
It holds my wang. It holds my wang in place.
Yeah, but don't you pee all over the floor?
No.
Oh. How do you do that? How do you work that?
Magic.
Yeah. All right. We're getting silly, I think.
You think?
Getting silly. What else we got here, Wombat?
Have you read up on any of the Zynga stuff that's going on?
I saw that their stock went down a lot.
A whole lot. It's worth, what, like $3 now?
I'm surprised I didn't buy it because that's sort of meeting my criteria for stocks. Go down a lot right after I buy it.
Pretty much. And you saw that a lot of the higher-ups there sold a good number of their stock back in April?
Yeah, they probably like making money.
Yep. And now they're all being investigated and sued.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it. And also, you know, everyone is now saying that Facebook gaming is dead and that casual gaming is dead.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
That's what I was going to say. Do you think that that's the reality or do you think it's something else?
No, I think that this company probably was like overfunded and really, you know, was too reliant on Facebook gaming. There's some good Facebook games out there that I'm sure that can be profitable.
I think there are some good Facebook games that are profitable now. And I think that some of those games, and I think what Zynga wasn't able to do, besides not being able to innovate, you know, what they were known for was basically ripping off other games and rebranding them as Zynga games. But you can't do that with, on my Facebook feed, and this may be the reality of Facebook, it may not be, but if that's any indication, the most popular game on Facebook right now is the Marvel game.
Yeah, I see a few people sending me annoying things from that.
Yeah, you can't reskin that and call it something else because you're playing that game for those Marvel characters.
Right, right, right. That's the selling point.
Exactly. Same thing with the Dragon Age 2 game that was popular for a while. So, I mean, I don't know if Outer Knots is going to have that kind of legs, but I've been seeing a lot of requests for that too. But, you know, the same goes for You Don't Know Jack. Zynga can make You Don't Know John, but it's not going to be the same thing.
Right.
I'd like to see what the financials were on buying OMG Pop, the Draw Something guys, where they spent over $200 million, like, just like... less than 2 months after Draw Something came out. Right.
Yeah, it's funny because I did read up on that, and I wish I could remember the number, the drop-off of users
There's
from when they bought it
off.
To now, and it's like big. 90. It was a ridiculous number. I want to say it was like 90%, but it may not be that high, so don't quote me on that.
I mean, I deleted that game. I mean, I played that game a lot, and I, like most iPhone games, you play, I mean, the really good ones, the really addictive ones, you play religiously for a week. Maybe, like to the point where it's like draining your battery, where it's a problem. And then at least for me, I reach that saturation point where I say, oh my God, I'm wasting my time. And then I just delete it off my phone and never play it again. Because
sure, I've thought of that too before, but how really different is that to like console games? Like you play something for a week, maybe 2 weeks, and then you...
Right.
Generally move on to something else.
The difference is they got your $60 when you bought the console game. The
right.
Draw Something, I think, was a dollar.
Yeah.
Or free. They had
so
a free
I don't buy
too.
The whole, like, these are any more disposable than what console games are for the most part. Like, there's a different level of depth there, but a lot of these games, it's like you play them for a week or two and then you're
right.
done with them.
I think some of them feel like busy work. Like when you get right down to it and you get past the, you know, the glow, the initial glow of playing it, you're like, I'm just like doing busy work right now, flying these fucking planes around the world. Like this is a waste of time. But yeah, I see what you're saying, Ship. But I guess the difference is they made money off you when you bought the console game. I put this on the outline here. Star Wars The Old Republic is, you know, they announced that. Didn't they announce previously that it was going free to play?
We had heard it was, I think, like a month ago, but I don't think we knew when.
Oh, okay. It wasn't maybe like an official announcement, but they said this fall it's going to go free to play. November, I think? Or now it's free to play up to a certain level, I think. Right? Because I...
Yeah, it's already been free to play up to level 15, I think.
Okay. So now it's really going free to play. Their subscription numbers fell below 1 million for the first time. And apparently the break-even point is 500,000 just to keep the game going. So I have it downloaded and ready to go. I don't know. Shipwreck and I
have it downloaded and I forgot my password.
Nice.
And I tried to reset my password and I never got any like email or anything. So
sweet.
Try again.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Go.
Did you
go,
see
Star
this
Wars.
Thing that I put on the outline about EA's financial results?
I did not, but why don't you tell us about it?
Sure. I mean, what was interesting was this breakout, and this article came from PCGamer.com about the first quarter financials for Electronic Arts, and how much did they make from PC is really what they were talking about.
Okay.
The Xbox 360 was the biggest moneymaker for them at $292 million.
Mm-hmm.
But not far behind was PC with $276 million,
mm-hmm.
then followed by the PS3 with $267 million.
Right.
So PC has been a bigger moneymaker for Electronic Arts than the PlayStation 3 has been in the last quarter.
Right. It's got to be from like Battlefield.
It's from Battlefield. It's from Origin. It says quarter, but those numbers seem kind of high. I feel like those may be fiscal year numbers.
I see. Yeah, I'm looking right here. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Origin. Yeah. If you want to play Battlefield, you have to buy it from EA. That's going to
help.
Well,
if you want to play Battlefield, you're buying it from EA wherever you go.
I mean, no, you have to give the money directly to EA.
I know what you mean.
If you want to play Battlefield on a PC as opposed to, you know, some retailer getting their cut. So, yep. And yeah, you don't have the
there
distribution.
There are 21 million users on Origin.
Yeah. People wanted to play Mass Effect 3 on PC or Battlefield. That's where you have to get it from. So, yeah. I mean, I have Origin.
I do not.
I don't understand, like, people... Well, whatever. People, like, seem to be anti-Origin. I guess they just have a negative view of... They feel like Steam is somehow less... Is not evil and... Origin is evil.
People just like to have everything in one place,
I think that's
a big part of it, too. Mm. Like, it's a lot easier just to go into one store and
that's
download
your store.
It, and all your games yeah. are there.
All right. I can understand that, I guess. What else we got here? Let's see. Ba-ba-ba. Oh, you want to talk about a little bit about the Summer of Arcade, this year's Summer of Arcade.
It's not so hot. It's I really like Tony Hawk, but I understand why some people don't.
Okay.
I mean, it's basically just a reissue of some stuff, and they've changed some stuff, and that upset people, whatever. But on the whole, like, this year is a significant drop-off from previous years. Like, just looking...
Do we want to start?
666 looked at all the Metacritic scores from each year from 2008 through this year so far.
Right.
And he put up this little chart on CAG. That's pretty handy. But so the first year is when Braid and Castle Crashers and Bionic Commando Rearmed and Geometry Wars 2 all hit. And Galaga Legions was in there as well. Galaga Legions was the only thing that scored below an 82.
And that game isn't terrible. But Geometry Wars 2 is still probably in my top three Xbox Live Arcade games.
And Castle Crashers is one of the best-selling games of all time
mm-hmm.
On Xbox Live. And Braid is great. Braid's a great game. So that year, that first year, they just killed it.
Right.
Then the next year, they followed up Marvel vs. Capcom 2, which was huge at the time because the game was super expensive and like nobody thought it would ever happen again because of all the licensing and everything. So they had Marvel vs. Capcom 2, Shadow Complex, Explosion Man, and Trials HD. And then the subpar game that year was the Turtles in Time remake.
Which, for what it is, I mean, I have it. It's not terrible from a nostalgia point of view. But if
people got upset at it a lot for the same reason as Tony Hawk, is that it they didn't just redo that game like and do it in HD. They changed some stuff in it. They changed the graphics and everything.
Well, couldn't you play it with the original graphics too? Can't you push the button and have the graphics change back?
I don't think.
Or is that? Or am I thinking of the other one? I could be thinking.
I think you're thinking of the arcade game.
Is that what I'm thinking of? Okay.
The arcade game. Yeah, you could definitely do it in that one.
Okay. Then don't listen.
But again,
to me.
A good year, solid year.
A very good year. Everything is 82 to 86, except for Turtles.
There. Yeah, okay. I mean, you can't fault Explosion Man and Shadow Complex and Trials coming out within 4 weeks of each other. I mean, that's pretty ridiculous.
That's insane.
That is.
Yeah, that's like that's knocked it out of the park again.
Yep.
So 2010, we got. Lara Croft and the Guardian of the Light, Limbo, Monday Night Combat, Hydro Thunder Hurricane, and that really crappy Castlevania Harmony of Despair game.
So again, like four solid or better games and one meh.
Yeah, I mean, even with the online hiccups for Lara Croft, it's still an excellent game. Monday Night Combat still has an audience. And Limbo is probably one of the highest critically, rated games on the console, downloadable or not.
Yeah, of this generation, Limbo and Braid are right up there with anything, critically. So, yeah, 2010, still a fine year. 2011, just last year, we get Bastion, From Dust, Fruit Ninja Connect, Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, and Toy Soldiers Cold War. I would say that's not quite on par with the previous years.
No, but I do love Bastion. You know,
yeah,
I'm not saying
Bastion. I didn't love it as much as you did, but it was good.
And I
finished two of those games. I finished From Dust and Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet.
I have those are the two games on there that I haven't played.
Toy Story's Cold War was actually really good.
Yes, Toy Soldiers, you mean.
Toy Story. I think I called it
Woody,
that too.
Woody, kill those Russians.
When we talked about it back then, I think I called it Toy Story.
Slinky Dog, you got a nuke? But yes, I like that game. I finished that also. I finished Toy Soldiers Cold War. I finished Bastion. My daughter still enjoys Fruit Ninja.
So, Fruit Ninja, I think, is underscored.
I do too.
I think there's some hatred for Kinect there. It scored a 71 on Metacritic, by the way.
But as far as
the pricing, too, right? People like were probably upset that
People were upset that it was $10 instead of the dollar that it was on iPhone. But quality wise, I think Fruit Ninja Kinect's good. And then this year, my goodness, you had Tony Hawk, you have Wreck-A-Tier, and you have Deadlight, and. Even though I like Tony Hawk a lot of people seem not to.
It has a 66 on Metacritic.
Yeah, I think that's insane. But then you have Wreck-A-Tier, which I don't. It's no Fruit Ninja.
What? What was it?
Wreck-A-Tier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I thought it was Rick-A-Tier. Anyway, sorry. Go on.
No. And then Deadlight, which turned out to be disappointing. So I hope this doesn't mean like Summer of Arcade's kind of fizzling out, but it's kind of dangerous for Microsoft not to have a great Summer of Arcade this year.
Do you think it's because they've been getting a bad rap lately as not being very developer friendly, so people aren't going for these exclusivity deals anymore?
And the Metacritic score for Deadlight has dropped since we even posted this. It's now down to a 69, which means there are no games currently in the Summer Arcade that have a Metacritic score over 70. And I know Metacritic isn't necessarily the end-all be-all, but when you get 30 people giving an opinion on something and the majority of those opinions are negative, it does say something.
They're not negative. They're mixed.
Mixed.
These three games are... okay. And what we've been expecting from Summer of Arcade is this is the best stuff that Live has to offer.
Well, let's go. Now let's take this another step back. you know, Spelunky came out on July 4th weekend. The week before? Is that the week before it started?
I think 2 weeks before.
2 weeks before. Would it have made sense for them to hold that game until the Summer of Arcade?
It certainly would have, I think. I don't know, like, there's a lot of licensing stuff in there, I'm sure, that happened. But, yeah, that seems like it would have been the critical darling if they'd inserted it in here.
You know, it's funny, Zuma's...
We still have two games to go, too. We have Hybrid and Dust.
Yeah,
which... I don't think Hybrid's going to set the critics on fire.
It's not a bad game. I played it. I don't know. Again, you're probably right, but it is good.
Okay.
And I also played the other game at E3, Dust, the Illusion Tale. And although I can't speak on what the full game is like, I will say that what I did play of it, it is graphically very impressive.
Cool.
But, you know, did Orcs Must Die 2 come out on the Xbox also, or no?
Did what?
Orcs Must Die 2.
No.
That's not out yet for Xbox now.
Yeah.
Is it coming out?
I don't know.
Oh.
The first one did. That's why I ask.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got here on these list of things to talk about?
But I think this is the first year PlayStation Play is stronger than Summer of Arcade.
Even with the Expendables.
Even with the Expendables. They still have Papa Nyo and Counter-Strike and...
Dyad?
Sound Shapes.
Oh, not Dyad?
Dyad was before Play.
Okay. All right, what else here? I see that the headline reads, Twisted Metal sold fine, was not a dud, said Jaffe.
Says David Jaffe. Right. He said it didn't sell great, it didn't sell bad.
It was not a mega blockbuster or even a big hit. I hope Sony will be satisfied that it made a decent investment in the game and in us. Yeah, it probably didn't cost that much to make, but... I don't know. What else we got here? I think we're ready for the CAG bag.
Woo-hoo.
Yes.
I have appropriate amount of sweat.
You do.
To say that we're ready for the CAG bag. Yes.
Yes, that's good. Virgil Chicken. Why are you being such a dick to Wombat? Follow up. Why does Wombat keep taking hard stances on topics he knows little about? You've answered your own question. I'm not a dick to Wombat. Wombat, am I a dick to you?
I'm pleading the fifth.
No, seriously.
No, you are not a dick to me. Nah.
Am I the best to you?
You are so good to me that my wife is jealous.
Wait, what? Why, she wants me to be that good to her?
She could be better.
Yeah.
Ooh, Wombat just found the picture of the new RoboCop. This is more important.
I know. That's why I sent it to you during the show.
Oh my God, it's horrible. That better not be it.
I think I don't know if that's really it or not, but yeah, it's pretty crazy looking, right?
No. That's no good.
I don't know if that's it.
That can't be it.
I hope it's not.
It looks like if you were going to play like a futuristic football game, like in the future, like this is what football players would wear.
I agree. Yeah, that's pretty true.
This can't be it. It's not it. That's not it. Yeah. This.
Oh, it looks like the G.I. Joe power suit.
It does.
From
G.I.
Joe
Yeah.
Rise of Cobra, maybe.
I mean, the whole point of RoboCop is that he looks like a robot, I thought. Like, because he has Robo in the name. And this doesn't look like a robot at all. Ugh. I'm nauseous right now. I'm not a dick to Wombat. Nobody's nicer to Wombat than me.
I don't know about that.
Well, how many other people sent Wombat on a free vacation this year?
That's true.
Nobody. That's how many.
Technically, my wife did because she let me go.
I don't think that counts. It was not, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What else we got here? Matt J. 1991 wants to know when and why am I going to Vancouver? I'm going in the middle of August, and I'm going because it's a nice place. Have you ever been to Vancouver? It's beautiful. And it's 70 degrees. Like I mentioned earlier, I like 70 degrees. And my parents like to see their grandson once in a while. So it's a nice way for us to all meet somewhere that doesn't involve us flying 14 hours or more. Or them flying 14 hours or more. Middle ground. And we're kind of tired of Hawaii. what's so funny?
That's such a dick thing to say.
What, tired of Hawaii? But why?
It's that you don't
know. The listeners will tell you.
It's, yeah, the fact that you don't know why that's a dick thing to say is what makes it funnier. So we're going to move on to the next question.
But I mean, Hawaii is so awesome all the time that you need to go there all the time?
I'm not even getting involved in this conversation. Let's move on to the next question.
I have to provide my parents with access to my grandson,
it's
right?
It's fine. No, it's totally cool.
And what am I going to do? Look.
It's fine.
I think
you go to Des Moines. I mean,
yeah. I mean, what are we gonna? Where are we gonna go? New York is really far, and the jet lag is pretty bad.
It's fine. It's not it at all. Oh.
Well, I mean, you're gonna go to the same place all the time on your vacation every year.
I do.
You do?
Yes.
Well, you're in a very different situation than I am. I need to whatever. Don't hate the player. Hate the game. Right? Something like that. I don't know how we're going to do podcasts for those 3 weeks that I'm away.
They've got internet in Vancouver.
Yeah, but then I'm going to bring my microphone with me and maybe my portable microphone. I don't know. We'll think about it. Maybe we'll do like one somewhere in the middle or two. Dutiful Data wants to know if we're excited for Assassin's Creed 3 and Borderlands. And anything else? Are we excited for anything else this year? I'm excited for both of those games. Well, Assassin's Creed more. Like, I'm at the point where I don't watch anything or read anything about the game.
I think I'm maybe leaning more towards Borderlands 2 than Assassin's Creed 3.
Well, I know that for sure. Shipwreck 2, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
But also, Need for Speed Most Wanted is this year.
I'm still interested to see how Dishonored turns out.
That's this year too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm interested in that too. A lot of good.
Got the Baller Beats coming soon too.
When is that coming out?
That comes out on September 11th.
Nice. And the studio closes on September 12th.
No.
They've already closed.
I know.
they closed the building. I think they moved a bunch of the developers into their main office.
Right. Of course they closed the building. All that bouncing of the balls, I'm sure it really annoyed everybody around there. Bill Stepik wants to know if any of us are Trekkies and are we going to be checking out The Next Generation on Blu-ray? They looks like they did a nice job with it. It's like all on widescreen now and they updated the effects. But I don't see myself buying Blu-rays of a TV show.
I don't know. I heard it looks incredible.
Yeah, I would like to have it in digital form. But even still, I don't know if I would actually buy it. Tech Gaming writes in and asks, thinking about the holiday season, what does the PS Vita need to do to stay relevant? And where did that $50 million marketing campaign go? Wombat.
It needs a really good game that people want to play.
Shipwreck.
Going back to that $50 million marketing, is there marketing in New York? Like, it's a little bit different here in Ohio. We don't get as, like,
seen anything, no. Nothing out of home, okay. Not yet.
I don't understand his question where it says stay relevant.
Right, be relevant, you mean.
Okay.
You spelled B wrong.
Gosh.
Price drop. It needs a $50 price drop.
Price drop is the only answer, I believe.
It needs a $50 price drop and a pack-in game.
The real problem it has here is that it's competing against two Nintendo devices this holiday season. Two new Nintendo devices this holiday season.
Cheaper ones.
With the XL. Well, I don't know about the Wii U. I don't know what the price of that thing is going to be.
Oh, well, it's still competing against the regular 3DS as well.
Well, sure, but that's not as new as
okay, but it's going to be even cheaper.
I'm just saying kids could have gotten 3DSs for Christmas last year.
Mm-hmm.
Many did.
Mm-hmm.
This year, the Vita, which I'm not sure appeals to kids in the I don't know what the Vita is. It confounds me. I can't think about the Vita too much.
It confuses and confounds.
It does. I have a really hard time finding the market place for it. That the Venn diagram for where people and situations and ages and genders and sexual preferences all meet to where they get a Vita. It's very confusing. It's a big web of a Venn diagram.
Gotcha. Smackchop G asks, how do you stop someone from using so much toilet paper like it's been one whole roll a day? WTF. Is he saying that he's using an entire roll of toilet paper?
I think he's saying that someone in his house is using an entire roll of toilet paper.
Right. They're probably they're making too many duties, obviously, is what's happening. I'm sure they're not just making one duty.
No, see, I think they're going with too much toilet paper at one time.
But even still, dude, if they're making one duty a day,
some people just take the whole roll and they just go, wrap it around their arm 30 times, so their arm looks like a giant cotton swab, and they just go up and down back there.
They need a washlet. You need the Japanese ass washing toilet. You'll use much less toilet paper. You're only really using it just to make sure you got everything with the water jet and to dry off.
I say you lock it up and then only ration it out when they need to go.
Or buy really cheap, scratchy toilet paper.
I don't know. That just seems like they're going to use more of it then.
Baby wipes. How about baby wipes?
Those can give you a rash.
But they're baby wipes. They're supposed to not give you a rash.
What you want to do is you want to get a toilet seat that's concave, because then they won't want to be in there.
You tell them to make sure they eat less food. I think they're just making too many duties. Shouldn't be making that many duties. And the duties shouldn't be too big either. I think. That's how you know you're eating too much. Too many duties and your
duties are too big. Do me a favor. Just never say duty again.
Why? What's wrong with duty?
Dude, no. Ugh. It's like saying duty? Moist.
Duty, duty, duty.
Moist? Duties are moist?
Ugh.
You can't have a dry duty?
You could have a dry. I prefer them.
Right, of course. Then you don't have to use that much toilet paper.
Exactly. Can we move on to the next question now?
Yes. Kamikaze 010654. What is that, your phone number? Do you think that next-gen games will be $60? Previous generations have been used as an excuse for a price adjustment. That was one of the questions on this week's Pack Attack, starring Michael Pachter. And he believes that they will stay the same price because apparently the jump from the last generation to this generation really saw an increase in the overall costs of game development. And apparently it won't be a similar situation this time around.
He also believes that the cold winter has not affected the orange harvest.
The orange juice? Oh, the orange. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yes.
Thank you for getting that joke, by the way.
You're welcome. I own that movie on Blu-ray.
That movie's amazing.
Let's see.
For a movie that's so outdated, it holds up shockingly well. I watched it last week.
Yeah, it's good. Jamie Lee Curtis's breasts hold up very well.
They do. Maybe not so much anymore, but in that movie.
Right. Urban Yeti wants to know. He says, hey, Cheapy, I've been looking for a new 360 controller to buy, and I like the look of chrome. Do you find it slips right out of your hand? I mean, what do you think? It's like a greased pig or something? Obviously, no, it doesn't. It's fine. It's not going to slip out of your... I mean, are you some sort of profuse sweater when you play games? I mean, maybe. I don't think it's going to be a problem. It hasn't been a problem for me. I think you'll be fine with it. With that, I think it is time to wrap things up. And
I'm just picturing a controller somehow made out of those little tubes that are like snakes.
Yes, I was thinking of that when I read that. I couldn't remember.
You can make a controller out of that.
What are those called again?
I don't know. The things you buy in Walgreens.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, I know what they are. Yeah, the water snakes. Water something.
Yeah,
something.
What are those called? We should do a Kickstarter for a controller like that.
No, thank fun. You.
Like a prank controller.
Oh, the prank. It'll come with those fake lottery scratch.
It comes in a
tickets.
Can of peanuts.
I like these ideas. Yeah, like you, and then it like goes right into your television after you try to play a game. It's like whoop. Yes. So thanks for listening. I'd like to remind everybody to follow me and Shipwreck if he ever gets it going on twitch.tv/cheapassgamer. Also facebook.com/cheapassgamer and follow us all on Twitter, CheapyD, Wombat5277.
I need new followers.
Shipwreck, yeah, Wombat told people that if they ate at Chick-fil-A today, what's it called? Chicken filet?
I love
chicken. It's really called chicken filet. Are you kidding?
Just Chick-fil-A.
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 Yes.
Then why does it have a hyphen?
It's got two hyphens.
Yeah, why?
Because it's spelled C-H-I-K-A hyphen.
Chick-fil-A. Yeah, look at that. Chick-fil-A. I never really looked at it that way. Huh.
Yeah.
I never heard anyone actually say it out loud.
That's because you're educated.
Chick-fil.
Yeah. Yes, and review us on iTunes. Why don't you? We like to see your reviews. We're approaching 2,000 reviews on iTunes. And you can help us meet that lofty number just by reviewing us. And yes, go to audibletrial.com/cadcast to get your free audiobook and your free 30-day trial. And that's it. We'll see you next week.
We're done.
Here for an amazing experience once more that he may never do again. Mr. David Cheapy D. Abrams, host of the Cheap Ass Gamer podcast, friend of the show, magnanimous, I don't know, video game power broker. Yeah, I need one more. I needed one more to give you three titles.
Friend of Michael Pachter.
Friend of Michael Pachter, yeah. Friend of, justice and good podcasting. Thank you for coming on the show in this ridiculous, sweltering, disgusting, nasty ass humidity and heat and just Tokyo summer. You do have your towel, your little green Izod towel.
I have three of these. They were on sale.
Brand nice. Throwing it in our face. Yes.
It was about $3 I think I paid for this.
How's it going?
It's great. Everything's great.
This is your second podcast of the day.
Yes, this is a double header.
Yeah. You were yelling at Wombat only hours ago.
That's right.
What did you say you guys got into it about?
He said something like the 3DS XL is a incredible device. No, not incredible. What did the word he used? Shit. I named the episode of the podcast after. I can't remember.
But, some superlative.
Some ridiculous thing that. And I was like, it's not an incredible.
Did he see it in person? Is that what happened?
No, nothing. He read an article about it.
To be fair, it was at Comic-Con, I think. And I also saw a lot of reports from people who, previous to that, at least on Twitter, were either lukewarm or didn't care, didn't say anything, and then were suddenly like kind of excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not
right. He said it was an incredible. Is the word?
Okay. Yeah. I can see why you wouldn't remember that. word.
You know, during the show, I made the mistake. I thought he said it was exceptional, which is equally ridiculous.
Right.
You know, I don't see if he didn't think the
okay incredible. Yes. That's fair. That, I would have gone after him as well because incredible. It's like okay. If you read, there was a Wada Asks column about the XL, which I also thought was kind of funny. I'm sure if you worked on it, it's this amazing, like, oh, yeah, then we had to do this with the speakers, and people don't know. Right, but actually, to get the battery to do this, it was actually really tough. But to you and me, it's like, it's a little bit bigger thing. And I'm even excited about it. I'm going to get a US one because I haven't gotten a US 3DS yet.
Right. So but incredible is maybe like three levels more positive than you would probably.
No. It's it. Not. It's almost like expected, right? It's like, okay, this is to the 3DS what the DS XL was to the.
Right. So there's nothing incredible about it. No. It's just bigger.
It's bigger.
Everything about it is
incredibly bigger.
Which is good.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between good and
Incredible.
Right. Yeah, no, incredible would be a word I would reserve for like the iPhone when it first came out.
Excuse me, that's exactly what I said. So let me tell you what's incredible. Incredible is an iPhone. It's a computer that I can carry in my pocket and that can do almost everything that a full-size computer can do.
Yes.
Right. That is incredible to me. And it's even a camera and a phone and all these things. And he was arguing with me that the iPhone is not incredible.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay, well, I was... Otherwise, we're going to get into recounting the whole podcast here.
iPhone, I mean like any smartphone, like modern smartphone.
Right. Use iPhone like my grandparents might use iPhone to just be like, he has one of those iPhones and it doesn't matter.
You're not endorsing the Apple utopia.
Correct. Right. Exactly. Exactly.